Welcome to Technology and the Arts, a bi-weekly podcast exploring the connections between the worlds of technology and art. In this installment, we'll share some interesting websites and online resources we have come across recently, including an Oxford University professor's theory that we may all be living in a computer simulation being run in the future, and a fascinating table-based musical device called the React Table. Plus, we'll talk about Universal Music Group's decision to sell DRM-free tracks, but not on iTunes. We'll talk about all of this and more just ahead on Technology and the Arts for Wednesday, August 15th, 2007. Now here are your hosts, Brian Kelly and John Lemazny. Welcome to another edition of the Technology and the Arts podcast. As always, Technology and the Arts seeks to explore the connections between technology and art and to establish a forum for discussing the impact technology has made on the human creative process and on literature, music, and the visual and interactive arts. My name is Brian Kelly. I'm a journalist by trade, songwriter, musician, and science and technology enthusiast living in central New Jersey. My co-host, John Lemazny, a father, artist, musician, poet, and technologist also living in New Jersey, is off this week. Actually, John and I just didn't get around to recording a conversation for this podcast. We have just been increasingly busy these past few weeks, and so unfortunately, it's just going to be me this time out. Even though we've both been busy lately, John and I have tried to keep our respective tumble logs up to date as much as possible. So I'm sure if John were here, he'd be discussing some of the things on his tumble log at crumb.tumblr.com. And you can click on the link in the show notes to check that out. And if you want to check out my tumble log, that can be found at bktandem.tumblr.com. And once again, you can click on the link in the show notes for that as well. The first thing I'd like to talk about is Universal Music Group's recent announcement that it will be putting a significant portion of its music catalog available for sale online without digital rights management protection. Digital rights management, more commonly known as DRM. Universal will offer the songs and albums in the unprotected MP3 format at several online retailers, including Real Networks, Walmart, Amazon, and even Google. Note the glaring omission of Apple's iTunes service. Of course, back on July 6th, Universal axed its long-term contract with Apple, despite sales estimated at around $200 million through the iTunes store. But it's all a part of a power play between Apple and Universal over the sale of online music. However, since this content will be DRM-free, that means you can buy it on any of these other sites and you can play those songs on your iPod. So you can still get the benefit of this Universal deal. So now you have Universal and EMI, two of the big four major record labels, offering DRM-free music. So it's definitely coming around. The music industry is definitely coming around to the fact that DRM is just bad. It's bad for business. It's bad for the consumer. Nobody wants it. So it's a positive step. We'll see how it works. At this point, Universal is calling it a promotion. And according to this story on efluxmedia.com, the testing will begin August 21st and end January 31st, 2008. So we'll see if Universal continues with it after the testing period, but it's still good news. Welcome news for online music consumers. The next thing I would like to talk about is the React Table. Apparently, Bjork used it on tour this year, and what it is it's kind of like the Microsoft Surface multi-touch table we discussed a few podcasts ago. But basically, it's this display. And you have these blocks and circular objects on this surface, and a projector underneath provides visuals. And basically what you're seeing is a visual representation of the music. And each of these blocks and round objects that you place down on this surface react with each other and react with the table and produce synthesized sounds. And it's very interesting. You can go to the Gizmodo post that I've linked in the show notes and watch a video. It's really interesting stuff. And the Princeton Laptop Orchestra, which we talked about in an earlier podcast. If you want to look at that podcast, just search our site and you'll find it. I think they would be very interested in playing with this React table. So check out that link in the show notes. It's fascinating if you're into music and sound generation and just really cool things. You really need to take a look at it. And this last thing I would like to talk about is a bit out there. So let's get a little philosophical, shall we? In a New York Times story dated August 14th and written by John Tierney, it talks about an Oxford University philosopher named Nick Bostrom, who says it's his gut feeling that there's at least a 20% chance that we are all just a part of a computer simulation being run by future humans, or as he calls them, post-humans. Basically, the premise is that our civilization gets to the point where it gets the technology to run such a massive simulation, and hopefully it's running on a very stable operating system with a very reliable backup power supply, or we're all in trouble. Here is some of the article. It says, quote, "This simulation would be similar to the one in The Matrix, in which most humans don't realize that their lives and their world are just illusions created in their brains, while their bodies are suspended in vats of liquid. But in Dr. Bostrom's notion of reality, you wouldn't even have a body made of flesh. Your brain would exist only as a network of computer circuits. You couldn't, as in The Matrix, unplug your brain and escape from your vat to see the physical world. You couldn't see through the illusion except by using the sort of logic employed by Dr. Bostrom, the director of the Future of Humanity Institute at Oxford. Dr. Bostrom assumes that technological advances could produce a computer with more processing power than all the brains in the world, and that advanced humans, or post-humans, could run ancestor simulations of their evolutionary history by creating virtual worlds inhabited by virtual people with fully developed virtual nervous systems. Some computer experts have projected, based on trends in processing power, that we will have such a computer by the middle of this century, but it doesn't matter, for Dr. Bostrom's argument, whether it takes 50 years or 5 million years. If civilizations survived long enough to reach that stage, and if the post-humans were to run lots of simulations for research purposes or entertainment, then the number of virtual ancestors they created would be vastly greater than the number of real ancestors." Unquote. Now, this is really heavy stuff, so I have a link to the article in the show notes, as well as to the Gizmodo blog post that led me to the New York Times article. All I can say is that if we are part of a computer simulation being run by future humans or post-humans, that it means the real versions of ourselves did a much better job at getting into the future than we seem to be doing. Because I don't like a lot of the directions we're heading in, you know, as a country, as a global society. But, of course, on the flip side, this could also mean that some alien race is running the simulation and they're trying to figure out how we destroyed each other and ruined our planet. And now they're getting to the end of that part. Hopefully that's not the case. But anyway, take a look at the article. It's really kind of mind-blowing. But enough with philosophical musings. It's time for the Technology and the Arts Events Calendar. This is your Technology and the Arts Events Calendar. Soundmarks, which runs from June 8th through August 18th, 2007, at Art Interactive in Cambridge, Massachusetts, is an exhibit of site-specific sound and video installations by Amy Stacy Curtis and the team of Zach Poff and M.B. Aldridge. Employing both new media and traditional audio technologies, these artists experiment with ways in which art can serve as a catalyst for common experience and a site for community exchange. For more information about Soundmarks, visit www.artinteractive.org or call 617-498-0100. On Thursday, November 8, 2007, the Princeton Laptop Orchestra will be performing at the National Academy of Sciences Museum in Washington, D.C. More details will be available soon on PLORC's website at plork.cs.princeton.edu. To stay informed about events related to technology and the arts, please remember to check out the Technology and the Arts events page at techarts.wordpress.com. Well, it appears we've reached the end of another Technology and the Arts podcast. Thanks to the magic of digital editing, here is John Lemazny with one final reminder.
Well, as always, I'd like to say to our listeners that if you have an idea for a story or know about a show or event related to technology or art, to let us know about it by emailing us at technology.arts@gmail.com. Also, feel free to send an email just to say hi. And you are always welcome to leave a comment on the Technology and the Arts blog.
Well, that closes the curtain on another Technology and the Arts podcast. Stay tuned for more news and resources related to technology and the arts when we come back with our next show on Wednesday, August 29th, 2007. So until then, for Technology and the Arts, this is Brian Kelly.
And this is John Lemazny. Take care.
For more information about the podcast you have just heard, please visit Technology and the Arts on the web at techarts.wordpress.com.